Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the show, guys. Filled to the gills with big results and shockers from this weekend's Premier League. Alongside me this week are my trusted panel of experts.
Ryan.
Mark.
Coming up, we also have the announcement of our final FIFA winner. That will be around about 6:30. And we also have a very special guest this evening, Aromas Cafe FC player manager David Deaton will be stopping by to talk to us. That will be around about 6:35 as well. All right, so let's get right on to it. Results. First game was Monday. So let's go all the way back to the 26th. And it was Burnley versus Watford.
Yeah, great result for the Burnley boys. you know, just what more can you say? That's a tough, like, Watford are coming off a bit of confidence.
Right.
You know, beating United.
Troy Deeney.
But no, Burnley did the business and... you know, we'll get on to what they did today, and they can find themselves slightly unlucky about
right.
today, but, you know.
Oh, really?
Great three points. Absolutely, mate. And you know it. So, yeah, no, I think Hendrick is doing the business with Burnley at the moment. He looked really good today as well. And obviously Keane's on a lot of kind of big club radars at the moment, talks of him maybe being linked with Chelsea, something yeah. like that. So yeah, but he looked good again today as well. So no, Burnley boys, good result, 2-0 against the mighty Watford, your second hand team. So yeah, no, good game.
Talking about second hand, it's 5:25 this afternoon and Ryan decides to cut his hair.
Yeah, I thought I'd have
looks like Aguero now.
Yeah,
I'm going to post a photograph up on our Facebook page. You guys can all have a laugh at that. I can't even look at him with a straight face.
Don't start a bar fight, Ryan.
You live and learn. Live and learn.
All right, so up to Friday, Goodison Park, Everton versus Crystal Palace.
Yeah, actually didn't see this game. Was working, but managed to catch some of the highlights and. You know,
Lukaku still on.
There you go. Two players you expect to score.
Right.
Lukaku and Benteke. I think it's Benteke, something ridiculous, like, I don't know what it is. Something really strange, like 80% of all his goals that he scored in the Premier League have been with his head, including his last six or something like that. So, trademark. if you're marking Benteke, just pull him to the ground. He can't score with his head. So, yeah, no. I'm not sure if that's... I think that's a really good result for Palace to go to Goodison and get a result. Everton looked like they were really starting to find their feet early on in the season. They just kind of tapered off a little bit, which is kind of what they do sometimes. So, but Palace, I think that's, they haven't been beaten in the last five games, something like that. So that's great for them.
Yeah. Swansea manager's looking a little bit in trouble.
No Alan Pardew sacking yet.
No, not yet.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, we're talking about Swansea. They were at the Liberty Stadium, home to Liverpool on Saturday.
It's actually really, because he came out and said before the game that if he doesn't win this game, he's not going to have a job come Monday morning.
We still haven't. There hasn't been an announcement yet.
No, yeah, and they weren't going to do it yesterday or today. They'll make a decision tomorrow. I can definitely see somebody like Giggsy going there, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he is Welsh as well.
Yeah, there you go. Bit of a connection, isn't it? But yeah, Leroy Fer after 8 minutes. Pretty, you know, pokish kind of goal. This was a really strange game for me because I fancied Swansea to actually win this when I watched like the first, you know, 50 minutes or so, the first half. But Liverpool, you have to give them credit now. I feel like this was the one game...
They grafted this game back out for as well.
This is the one game where I've actually felt like, hang on a minute, we've got a serious contender for the league here, because this was a game that they could have easily just finished 1-1, dropped a couple of points,
right?
But found a way to win. And they were... To be honest, if you go back and watch that game, I would say... 95% of their passes in the final third were incomplete, either went out for a goal kick, went out for a throw-in. They were really, really poor in the final third, and you don't really think of that when you think of Liverpool this season.
Right.
They've actually been very, like, kind of astute in that area of the field, but nah, like, every pass was, everyone was just a little bit off-key. It was actually a pretty poor game, especially in the final third, but you know what, you find a way to win, and they did that, so fair play to them, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Klopp has definitely turned that club around, I think.
Absolutely,
I
mean, yeah.
Like I said as well, they're now a threat.
Yeah, they look dangerous.
Yeah,
even
they
in
do.
Games, even in games like that, that's what I'm saying, when they're not firing on all cylinders and the
you still
graft
the result out.
Find a way to win.
Yeah.
That's what champions do, you find a way to win.
I feel like I'd like to liken them to Tottenham right now. They both have a really good team collectiveness, and you know they don't have the likes of Suarez anymore. Those big names, Gerrard, but they really do a good job of playing as a team, as does Tottenham. So that's going to be tough to go to Anfield and get a result. And as you saw City today, it's going to be tough to go to White Hart Lane and get a result.
Right, we'll get to the City game in a second.
Yeah,
don't forget, guys, you're tuned in to Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. If you're a City fan, obviously you want to kind of prove the point, or you know, if you're a Liverpool fan, overjoyed.
I'd like to hear from Liverpool fans.
Me too.
To
we haven't heard from a Liverpool fan yet.
No.
So get in contact with us. Also, you can get in contact with us, Blokes on the Bench. Facebook.com/Blokes on the Bench. You can hit us on the email, and also if you wanted to email us directly, Blokes on the Bench, all one word, no capitals, at hotmail.com. I do apologize. So the next game was at the London Stadium, the brand new stadium for West Ham, against Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
You know what? They've lost a few games. And
West Ham look poor. They just look really, really poor. But if you haven't seen this game, watch it. 57th minute, you're going to see
one moment of brilliance.
Literally, it has to be goal of the season. It's goal of the month, hands down, but it has to be a huge contender. It'll take something really special to beat that goal. Dimitri Payet, first time we've really seen him this season turn
right.
it on. And literally goes past about six players and just side foots it coolly and past keeper. And yeah, it was just such a great goal. Great goal.
Mm. I mean, do you think that West Ham are going to keep slipping, or do you think this could be the turn? Even though it was a draw.
Yeah, but it
stopped the floodgates.
Look, when you have that injection of cash and you have players that they have, you have the new stadium and like that. To me, are they really going to get super excited about nicking? And they nicked a 1-1 draw with Middlesbrough, newly
right.
promoted. Nothing against Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough fans who might be listening know that they're in a bit of a dogfight. Their aim would be if they finish. Look, if Middlesbrough end up finishing 10th, 11th, fantastic season for them. West Ham, with their influx of cash, the new stadium, the players they have, they should be thinking way higher than. I'm going to say 8. You know, they should be pushing for that maybe 5th or 6th this year, and then next year be gunning on for something else. But this season, really poor. Really, really poor.
Well, isn't that what we thought they were going to do this season?
It's what they should have done this season.
I agree.
But that's what I mean. It's poor. So I wonder, like, you know, are they really taking that much confidence from nicking a 1-1 against Middlesbrough? But fair play to Middlesbrough. Scored a really good goal. You know, and at the end of the day, Middlesbrough are the ones bouncing out of there thinking, all right, we went to the new stadium.
We went there.
Bit of trouble. Second week in a row, there's been a bit of trouble at West Ham after the game. A bit of argy-barges. And it's kind of what West Ham kind of used to do. And I don't know. I thought they were kind of past that. But I think, you know, the way they're playing this year, I think the fans are a little frustrated. You know, they've got all this new. They've got the new stadium. They've got all the most amazing facilities. They kept their star man in Payet.
Yeah.
I think they expect a little bit more. And you know what? Rightly so. But yeah, it was sad to see that. And that's the second week in a row there's been a few scenes of unsavory incidents, shall we say, after the game. So, yeah, not bit of a black mark on that game.
All right. Next game, Vicarage Park, Watford versus Bournemouth.
Troy Deeney.
Yeah, this was really kind of a strange one. Bournemouth obviously score first. Wilson, tidy little finish, kind
right.
of what he does. Your boy, Troy Deeney. And then it was funny because you had King come off the bench in the 61st minute and literally scores with his first touch. Took a huge deflection, but, you know, went in. So made it 2-1 to Bournemouth. And then what's his last name? Success. RJ Success in the 65th minute. And, literally he scored after being on the field for about 4 or 5 minutes as well. So, yeah, it was kind of a, you know what, fair result. Watford really needed to bounce back after losing Monday night to Burnley.
Right.
You know, and they came back not once but twice and nicked a point. It's a good result for both of those teams, I think.
Right, a point each rather than points at all.
I think Bournemouth would have definitely taken the point before the game.
Right.
Watford.
We'd gone for the win.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, fair result. Good game as well.
All right. Sunderland versus West Bromwich Albion at the Stadium of Light.
Sunderland got so lucky. Jermaine Defoe had an absolute gilt-edged chance in the first half. I can't believe. When Jermaine Defoe is one-on-one inside the penalty area with a goalkeeper, how many times have you seen him just slot it coolly into the bottom corner? He just dragged it slightly wide. I couldn't believe he missed it. But, you know, the West Brom took the lead. Nice little finish from Chadley. He's been a great signing for them from Spurs. He's actually settled into that squad really well. And West Brom, you know what? They would have obviously wanted to win this game 1-0 up, but then Van Aanholt comes off the bench and scores in the 83rd. Kind of a lucky goal. Like, he's just kind of got something on it and he's hit it into the ground. It's looped over Ben Foster. Yeah. But 1-1, Sunderland will probably take a little bit of... Again, though, I don't know how much confidence... Okay, they got a point, yeah? But they're at home against West Brom. It's not... It's a game that Sunderland should be thinking, we're going to win this. We should win this. And I don't know. I just... They're just poor. Yeah. Sunderland are really poor. But West Brom did look good. They played some really good football yesterday.
You think David Moyes is the next to get the axe?
Well, I think the Swansea manager's on his way out. And then Moyes definitely on the chopping block. Got to be. Just shocking. Absolutely,
I mean, do these
shocking
managers not belong maybe in the... I mean, if they can't, you know, manage teams that are the bottom of the league, one of them newly, or well, they're new teams and going in and out of the Premier League. Do you think they belong maybe in the Champions?
Yeah, but David Moyes is never going to go and manage in the Championship. He did great things with Everton on a shoestring budget. Came to United, massive move. There's no way that in the span of 4 years you go from managing, you know,
mid-level.
The biggest club in England. Like, even if you want to dispute that, financially the biggest club in England, the biggest business club in England anyway, go from managing that to, let's say, go and manage Wolverhampton Wanderers. No disrespect to the mighty Wolves, by the way. Steve Ball, rock on. But, you know what I mean? It's never going to happen. He's always going to bounce around these kind of clubs. But just poor, just shocking.
Yeah.
And they got a good team as well. On paper, Sunderland have got a decent team. Just no one's taken ownership. We said it last week. We said it the week before. And I'm sorry, but we're probably going to say it for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Just, yeah, very low on confidence at the moment, Sunderland.
Need a win.
They desperately need a win.
Yeah. All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. Now, you can get in contact with us on the phone, 434-284-9470. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. There's an email button on that. You can get through us that way if you've got any questions, whatever you want to ask us. And also, if you want to email us directly, blokesonthebench, all one word, no capitals, at hotmail.com. All right, so the next game, Hull versus Chelsea at the KCOM Stadium.
Yeah, I tell you.
You were saying that Chelsea just weren't convincing.
Shocking for the first hour.
Right.
Shocking. They played the other night when they got beat by... Well, last weekend when they got beat by Arsenal, they had their first shot on target in the 83rd minute. That's horrendous for a team like Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's shocking. Hull did the business for an hour.
See Snodgrass's free kick?
Yeah, see...
Comes off on... Well, I can't remember who it came off. One of the Chelsea players.
Yeah, and Courtois tips it over.
Yeah.
Great save, wasn't it?
Great save.
But you watch the highlights of the first half.
Nothing.
Hull had some really decent chances. Chelsea, they do a lot of intricate stuff around the box, but there's no real... there's no real penetration. And everyone talks about Costa. Yeah, he scored yesterday. Big whoop. For me, just honestly, a little bit overrated and slows everything down. But, you know, Willian got a goal. 6-7 minutes later, Costa scores. 2-0. Hull aren't getting back in it. You know.
Hull just started the season probably the best defense, I think. They were just...
They look really good. They were compact. They were a team.
Have they sorted their manager out yet? Have they got a manager yet?
Still feeling, doing interim job. But Hull, is that the third loss in a row now? They need to steady the ship. They need to get a point in their next game, whoever it's against.
At least they didn't have a player sent off for another deliberate handball.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But I think they had Livermore got booked in like the first 10 minutes. So I was like, oh, he's on his way. But yeah. So that was all of Saturday's games right there, right?
Yeah. And we went to Sunday's games.
Early morning kickoff this morning at Old Trafford.
And Stoke.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is exactly what football's about. Man United, by far the best performances of the season.
Even better against Leicester?
Way better than what we played against Leicester. From the front, from the off, we look really good. Attacking really well. We look good. We got in between the lines. We just came up against a very informed goalkeeper today. Very, very good. And you know what? We did make the breakthrough on the 69th minute with Martial scoring. Really nice finish. Mm-hmm. And then an absolute howler from De Gea kind of gifted Alan a goal with like eight minutes to go. And we threw everything at him in the last 10 minutes or so, but unfortunately couldn't find the back of the net. Both Pogba and Ibrahimovic had about 3 or 4 gilt-edged chances. And, you know, sometimes they just don't go in. Sometimes you come up against a top-quality goalkeeper it's just his day.
Right.
So at the end of it, you know what, I was kind of happy to get a point out of it because we looked so, so good. I'm not even joking. We could have won that game 6-7-0.
Right.
But sometimes that's the way it goes. So, you know, we'll take a point, roll on. At least City lost.
Actually, I'm glad that Martial got on the scoreboard.
Yeah, and he'd only been on the pitch a couple of minutes.
You know, he's been one of those players that we were really expecting a lot. Everyone was talking about him being the next Thierry Henry, and people were even saying this season, you know, he's good. I haven't seen it yet. I have to see it. I mean, okay, that first game he came on against, was it Liverpool last season?
Oh, last season he was by far just probably the best player in the league. By far, he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But towards the back end of last season, you had like Rashford break on the scene, took a bit of a spotlight off him. But this season, he's been a little bit of a bit part player. He's playing out on the left. He's got Giggs's number. You want to see? He's got so much pace and so much talent. Like today is an absolute blueprint of what this kid needs to do. As soon as he got the ball, he ran it. Two defenders, cuts inside, slides it to Rooney. Lucky that it... I think Cameron got a little bit of a foot in and laid it back to him, and he's just bent one straight in the top corner. That's what we want from this kid. You know, I think he was willing to carry the mantle of being the main guy a little bit this year, and then obviously you have Pogba come in, you have Zlatan come in,
Rashford stealing the sense, you know, that
Rashford still doing the business. Looked a bit untidy on the ball at times today, though, Rashford. But we'll let him off that. But like I said, 1-1, you kind of just have to take it.
Right.
I mean, De Gea was a spectator for 90% of that game, but at the end of the day, when you're called upon, you have to do the business. And unfortunately, had a bit of a blunder in the last 10 minutes there. And that's what happens at this level. You're supposed to get punished.
Right.
And we did. So.
All right, guys. It's coming up to 20 past the hour. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Welcome back. So the next game, let's jump right into it. Tottenham versus Man City. Yep. Every Man United is floating right now.
When I saw the starting lineup, and I guess De Bruyne picked up a knock. I think it was like a thigh strain or something. I kind of thought that it would run out the way it was going to. People talk about David Silva being as good as De Bruyne at drifting in between the lines.
He's
nowhere near as good as De Bruyne at drifting in between the lines and then having that penetrative streak to like actually link up with the likes of Aguero and Raheem Sterling. And I knew they were going to miss him, and lo and behold, they look really, really poor, especially in that first half. They got nothing going up front, really. Yeah. Lloris had literally nothing to do. And you had a own goal from Kolarov, kind of took a swing and a miss, and it hit his standing foot and flew off the bar.
I felt sorry for him a bit.
Oh, don't be silly.
A little bit.
Don't be silly.
I'm back now.
And then, I tell you what, the Dele Alli goal was really, really good. So good. It was an absolute testament to the way they set up. So it's from the very first whistle, they were high-pressing. It was kind of risky when you played Dele Alli that far up the field and ask him to make that press. But it worked out for them. They knew with you know, look, the reason you can do that against a Man City team with no Kevin De Bruyne is because you don't have a Kevin De Bruyne drifting in behind you, basically across each side of the field and kind of coming behind you between those lines. So it was a risk that Pochettino took to have this high press, and it was all over the field.
Yeah.
Like you watch, Man City never really strung four passes together. There was always somebody up them, always somebody on them, and even in the goal, they broke with Son and Dele Alli and Eriksen. They lost the ball. They won it back immediately. 1-2 passes, great little pass from Son, and a great finish from Dele Alli to make it 2-0. And then it was a really assured professional performance in the second half that got them over the line. And Spurs are the real deal this year.
Everyone keeps talking about Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal. Tottenham are sitting in second place and looking good.
Spurs are the real deal this year.
You think they could?
My only fear with Spurs is that lack of experience in kind of every, especially in midfield and up front. Still a really young team, probably one of the youngest teams in the Premier League. I don't know the official stats, but I would say probably an average age of 22, 23, which is really, really young. But that's where I worry about them, especially like, and the proof was last year. So hopefully they've learned a little bit from last year. But we'll have to wait and see. But they look very, very good.
Yeah. So next game, Turf Moor, Burnley versus Arsenal. Mark?
Resident Gooner, take it away, man.
Resident Gooner. So the first half was very poor. We had a game midweek against Basel where we actually looked really, really good. The way we strung the passes together were great. But in this game, it looked like we had a little bit of Champions League hangover.
Right. Because you played midweek. You won when midweek, didn't you?
Yes, 2-0 midweek to Basel at home at the Emirates. Turf Moor is not the easiest place to go and play. You know, in Burnley... had a shorter week having to play Watford on Monday night, but I didn't see a lot of players making runs at all. Ryan, what do you have to say about that?
For me, I thought Arsenal looked pretty pedestrian for a lot of that game. Ozil wasn't finding his spaces. Again, he's another one that people think run between the lines really well. In my opinion, he doesn't. But that was a game that, look, Burnley put three in the center of midfield, rightly so. That's what they're always going to do against Arsenal or against a top four team. But that gives Ozil more opportunities to actually drift in off a left fullback to a center midfielder and drift between the lines. And for me, he was one of the worst players on the pitch today. He didn't find any space whatsoever.
He seemed like he was on the wing a lot.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. He did actually have avenues. Look, Burnley aren't going to counterattack and break and throw six men forward and cause you problems. When you have your two fullbacks in Bellerin and Monreal, two very quick, very, very good, intelligent defenders, very good football. I actually speak highly of both of them. I think they're both real, real good. It gives someone like Ozil the license to kind of do whatever he wants. And today, in my opinion, really lazy professional performance from Ozil. Mm. And he is kind of the catalyst in those areas. Like, when Santi Cazorla picks the ball up in a deeper role, he's looking to split two central midfielders and feed Ozil the ball, who's ran between the two lines. And he never did that all day. So when Cazorla's got the ball, the amount of times you see him pirouette on it, go back out wide, I'm telling you, you rant and rave about Ozil. For me, that was a game that Arsenal should have won convincingly if Mesut Ozil would have turned up for the game, yeah. And he didn't. And if I was the manager, I'd have bought him off after 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But
apparently Twitter reacted pretty poorly towards him as well.
That's a game where he... Look, that's a game. No disrespect to Burnley, yeah? Because I actually thought they played very well. Mm. There was actually really good matchups. I think Hendrick is a very, very good midfielder for them. And you have Sam Vokes up front. Him and Mustafi had a really good kind of battle going on. Little things like that. George Boyd is a little bit, towards the end of his career, a little bit slow. But, you know, he's a workhorse. He'll give you everything he's got. But I didn't see any of that from, like, the Arsenal midfield and the front. And Theo Walcott is just... I don't know how he gets a game, mate. He was poor today. Really poor. But...
Had a string of great games.
Yeah, but then you've got... Look, you've got somebody... I rate Santi Cazorla very highly. I think he's a very, very good player.
Glad to have him back.
But he looks very, very good when his front three, his front four... are doing the business, and when they don't do the business, he is a I'll receive a pass in the middle of the park, I'll turn sideways, and I'll just give a sideways pass, which that's not what he's about. He's a creative midfielder, and like I said, if you don't have your two guys running the lines, I thought Sanchez was average. Arsenal are a team. If your front three aren't on song, it comes all the way back through the team. Because that's where the catalyst is. The catalyst from back here. And if these boys aren't doing it, you guys kind of had nothing. And you were so lucky. You literally scored the last kick of the game. I'm screaming for the linesman to put the flag up because, in my opinion, Koscielny's gone for the ball just as much as Oxlade-Chamberlain. And if he gets the last touch, as far as I'm concerned, you're offside, mate.
All right, so one more game left. Leicester versus Southampton. I think the only piece of news I've got from that game is Mara's got a yellow.
Oh, he did? That was a snooze fest, was it?
It's just... No.
I didn't see it.
I was expecting a high result there.
Yeah.
It could go either way with that game.
Yeah. Reverting back to last week, I think if we remember at the end of the show when we were talking about the fixtures, I literally went draw, draw, win, draw, 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 draw. I was on like a draw... menacing streak, and it kind of turned out that way. And I think, like, you know, the only one I did actually get wrong was the Arsenal, where I said they would draw against the mighty Burnley, and they nearly
did. You were seconds away from being right.
I was like 15 seconds away from being like, woohoo!
All right, guys, so that kind of puts our table right now. Manchester City on top with 18 points, Tottenham with 17, 1 point behind, Arsenal on third on 16, Liverpool on 16. Everton in fifth on 14, Manchester United on 13 and sixth. Seventh place, we have Chelsea on 13. Eighth place, Crystal Palace on 11. Ninth place, West Bromwich, making their way in the top 10, 9. And also on 9, Southampton sitting on number 10.
Yeah, but what I would say about that is, remember last week I said to you that this City-Tottenham game was huge, because if Tottenham could get a result, it would bring everyone back together. It would bring It was a classic six-pointer.
Yeah.
So everyone. That's why I'm a little frustrated that United didn't get the 3 points today, because that would have put us back in the mix. But it's nice to see. Look, if City win that game and go into the international break with, like, what would it have been, 7 points clear? Completely different story of the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's playing mega catch up now, and they would just be running away with it. But I said, if Tottenham could do the business, everyone comes back together, and we've got a real season on our hands. Yeah. And lo and behold, that's what happened.
All right, guys, don't forget you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. You can get in contact with us on 4342849470 or on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. We have a very special guest with us today, David Deaton. He is the player manager at Aromas Cafe FC. Welcome along to the show.
Thank you guys very much. It's a real honor to be here. I think that what you guys do is absolutely fantastic and real insightful commentary on all the Premier League. So thank you guys.
That's what we're here for, mate. That's what we're here for.
So before we get into the football aspect and the club itself, I had met with you guys before. Yeah. You're the owner of Aromas Cafe, Hassan.
Yep.
Spin a little bit about his background and his story, because it's inspirational in and of itself.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's inspirational in itself, and it's actually kind of the spirit and inspiration for us as players on the team. Hassan is an orphaned immigrant from Morocco, and in his own words, he'll tell you that, you know, soccer saved his life. He had a lot of frustrations. He had a lot of anger. And to be able to go out and kick a soccer ball was something that he could do that was positive with his energy. Right. And it was a tremendous outlet for him. And he always talks about the fact that those opportunities that he got in life started from channeling that to a positive direction, meeting people that he never would have had the opportunity to meet before. And everybody walks onto the football pitch, and you know they're all the same. You know they've got a kit on, and they got their boots on, and it's an even playing field.
Right.
No pun intended. And that's what he really talks about. And for us, you know, we look around our own team, and we've got guys from all over the world, and we really take energy from the fact that, you know, we're all coming together from different backgrounds, and through that diversity, we're much stronger.
Right.
All for the love of just one game. Who would have thought a round ball and two goals would have... I mean, it's great. Yeah, brilliant.
Now, was Hassan himself a player at one point?
Yeah, absolutely. He played professionally both in Morocco, and then he... one of the early reasons that he emigrated to the United States was to play soccer as well.
Okay.
So he's played professionally at pretty high level. He comes to the games. He'll be on the sideline, and he'll give us the halftime chat if he's there. He comes to, of course, all the open league games, and he's just a tremendous energy and spirit, and really helps us out a lot.
Awesome. Now, what about yourself, David? Like, what's your background?
Yeah, well, you know, quite honestly, I've always played soccer since I was a little kid. My passion for it actually kind of grew late on, in my 30s, really. Always been playing as high level as I can. Didn't play college or anything like that, but trying my hardest to play as best as I can. But in my 30s, I did a lot of business travel, and I'm traveling to India and getting to play in the slums of India. I'm traveling to Korea and playing in Korea. And I'm seeing that same vision that Hassan talks about, that all of a sudden, it doesn't matter where I'm from, doesn't matter where they're from. These guys in the Indian slums, there's two rocks for a goal. And yeah. I said, let's play. And they're like, yeah. And so we played for 2 hours. I played in Greece under the Parthenon.
Yeah.
And that's what really drives me in recognizing that, you know, that this is a great sport to unify people from different backgrounds.
Absolutely.
And Charlottesville has just got so many different backgrounds and different cultures. We need something like this to help bring us better together.
Yeah,
you had mentioned something about like the percentage of Charlottesville or like the town itself is like 20%, whereas most of the United States participation within the game is only 10.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The youth participation rates in Charlottesville are 20%. The state average is 10%. So Charlottesville is a real hotbed of soccer, which, I mean, is a testament to your guys' popularity. There's just a lot of people here that play, but are also intellectual about the sport as well. And it's amazing, really, the amount of – I mean, you go out on a Saturday or Sunday, and there's not a spare blade of grass that just doesn't have kids kicking a ball around.
Kind of makes me feel at home. So how did you and Hassan meet? Like, how did you become friends?
Yeah, well, Hassan's always been pretty active in the soccer community. And when we needed, you know, I mean, we're a Sunday league pub team, if you will, right? We needed a sponsor. We needed somebody to help us buy kits, you know, at humble beginnings, if you will. We knew he had a passion for it, so walked into the restaurant. A mutual friend of ours that his son played at Charlottesville High School with one of the players on our team as well, Jake Vignari. We walked into the restaurant together, and we just said, hey, look, we need somebody to help us out, you know, give us kits and be part of the team and give us energy. And he just said, absolutely. What do you guys need? But from there, we've entered into the Open Cup. We are trying to do as much community outreach as we can. I've been to Southwood and trying to work with the IRC and just doing as much as we can to get the community involved.
Awesome.
It's been last year. You guys played with the Richmond Kickers and lost and got put out that way. But, I mean, you can go far. And this is kind of like the American equivalent of the FA Cup. Like, if you stay in it and play and win your games, you can go the whole way to the top, I guess, MLS team? I mean, how does it work?
It is the American equivalent of the FA Cup. And so early on, you know, we played other amateur teams like ourselves. And we had to knock out two other teams to make it what they call into the tournament proper.
Right.
And so after winning those two games, we took on an NPSL team, which is what is termed a pre-professional. A lot of guys who are off-season from college, staying fit. And after we beat the Richmond Strikers, we went on to play the semi-pro team, the Richmond Kickers. And we had some tough calls early on, but you know, to be fair to them, I think that they were always fitter and a little sharper. It's kind of their full-time gig.
Yeah.
But we did lose that game. But yeah, if you keep winning, you can go all the way on. And I believe the final had Dallas was in the final. Had the name of the Dallas team. They used to be the Burn, but I've forgotten them now. And I actually forget the other opponent that they had, but that was just a couple of weeks ago that they held the final from 2006.
Wow.
So we were actually one of the last seven amateur teams in the nation that was still around, right here from Charlottesville. The other teams were from L.A., from San Francisco, a big metro area.
Yeah.
And here we were, sticking with them to be one of the last seven teams. One team from LA actually ended up playing the LA Galaxy. So it happens,
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It's good.
That's crazy. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, brilliant.
Honestly, just when you speak about that, it's talking about having to win two games to get into the first round proper.
Exactly.
Exactly, the FA Cup, the magic of it. I remember growing up and, because a lot of the top boys come in like round four.
Yeah.
That's kind of their. They've earned the right, if you like.
Yeah.
But some of the best matches come in the first and second round where you have, lower league teams that I used to play against and stuff like that have made it to that level. Right. So, yeah, it's just brilliant.
I need to give a big congratulations to our fans. We had a home game and we had probably close to 150 fans. We went away to the Strikers. We probably had another 60, 70 fans. And again, to the Kickers, we probably had close to 90 fans there.
Yeah.
We were just absolutely flabbergasted at the community support that was all around us. And people were just driving in, wishing us congratulations, staying after the game. It was just a tremendous spirit. And I think that's a huge accomplishment. So thanks to them. And obviously, thanks to the players as well. But sure. The community's big.
Awesome. Absolutely. We'll be right back with more from the from David from Aromas Cafe and obviously the UVA results and some Champions League results right after the words from our sponsors. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. We have alongside a very special guest here, David Deaton from Aromas Cafe FC. You explained a little bit about last year. Explain a little bit more about the team itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, we've got a really good pedigree of players. We've got players that have played in the pros, we got players, a lot of players, most all of them have played in the collegiate level as well. So it's just a really good caliber of players. And we got one player, in fact, who is, he runs his own academy right here in Charlottesville, Gradom Academy, helping out a lot of young players that are 14, 16 years old that are trying to make it into the college level. And he's showing them how it's done. So we're really proud of the level of players that we have. But even more is the diversity. We've got players from Colombia. We've got players from Croatia. We've got players from Kenya. We got players, but also mixed in, we got players right here from Charlottesville, born and raised. So I think one of our biggest assets is everybody's just coming from these various backgrounds. And we recognize that, especially right now with a world that's so divided, we recognize that the reality is we're stronger because we're diverse and together. And I think that's a real commitment. We don't get a lot of opportunities to train, but I'll get text messages from guys on business trips that say, hey, I just ran 7 miles, or, I was just doing some sprints, or me and this other guy met up and we were trying to, keep sharp. People are really committed to each other, and it's hard to train day in and day out like most teams would, because there's just a lot of limited infrastructure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, explain a little bit about this year. I mean, has the season started yet, or how does it work?
Yeah, so the adult team, we play a regular league play through SOCA, Soccer Organization of Charlottesville area. And that's where our normal league play is on Sundays. We had a game today. We won 2-1 against a really great team out of Three Notch Brewery. They put a team together and do quite well. And there's a couple good teams in the Division I for the regular adult league. But we play week in and week out on Sundays, and then we also host a lot of special games. You know, big thanks to the UVA club team. They often, about once a month, we'll do a friendly against them, and they're a really good young group of guys that challenge us every time. And so we're really pleased to have that opportunity. And we've traveled to play tournaments in Richmond, Virginia Beach. We went down to Lynchburg to play Lynchburg College. So we try to stay extra sharp by doing some pretty competitive friendlies.
Very cool.
So if anybody wants to, you know, come and see you play, like, how do they get in contact with the club? Just reach out in any way, I guess.
Yeah, any player out there or any fan, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and then you can, you know, message us through there to learn about our fixtures and come watch us and support us. But you can reach us as at Aromas Cafe FC, both on Twitter and Instagram, and at Aromas Cafe FC. Or if you're in Barracks Road Shopping Center, just go by Aromas Cafe and say hi to Hassan. He'll give you a big hug. He'll tell you all about the team and talk to you a lot and put you in touch with me
great
as well.
Dude.
Oh, awesome. Wonderful food.
So, I mean, obviously you can get in contact through the Twitter and Instagram page, but do you know when your next game is?
It's next Sunday at Charlottesville High School at 5 p.m.
5 p.m. Awesome. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to... Feel free to, you know, pass any information, anything else to do with the club. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. We've got our first game to qualify in Pittsburgh on October 16th, and then we'll have another game in November. So if it's a home game, we'd just love to have you guys come out and support.
Absolutely. We'll plug you every week, mate.
So, thank you so much.
So how many games – I'm sorry to interrupt again, but like how many games is there in this season of this club cup that you were talking about? How many games is there? Is it – like, is there seven games to get to the final, or, you know, how does that work?
We got a bye in the first round, so okay. We have two more games to go, and if we win them, we'll be in the tournament proper,
okay.
And we'll likely take on the Strikers and then the Kickers again.
Okay, well, better luck this year.
Absolutely. Revenge
is on the cards.
Thank you very much to David for coming in, and you're welcome in the studio anytime you want. Obviously, we should come out and support
absolutely.
The team.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right, so let's get on.
Big news. Biggest news in football at the moment. England manager Sam Allardyce, no longer. 67 days in charge.
On a winning streak.
No one's ever going to beat his win rate percentage of 100%. One game, one win. Just shocking. As soon as the allegations came out and all that... you know, the media attention, I knew that the FA would have to sack him. You have no other option. So basically what it pertained to was third-party ownership.
Explain a little bit about this, because it's quite complicated.
Okay, so it's officially banned now. It was banned in the FA back in 2008, and it's now banned in FIFA as of last year, 2015. So third-party ownership would be that you have a club... I'll try and break it down as easy as I can. So let's say you have a club like Watford. They have £20 million, but they really want to buy this £40 million striker. And this £40 million striker is happy to go and play for them. What they would do is sell 50% of their ownership of the player to this third-party consortium who put up the other £20 million, right? On the basis that if this player then gets sold... that third party would get 50% and the club would get 50%. They're basically only doing it with up-and-coming prospects, kind of established names that are playing. So the biggest kind of example of this was back in 2006 when West Ham United bought Carlos Tevez and Mascherano. I can't remember who they played for now.
West Ham.
No, but where they came from.
Oh, where they came from.
Anyway, doesn't matter. So what happened was West Ham actually didn't own any percentage. I think they maybe owned 10% of Tevez and 10% of Mascherano. But you're talking about two players that were acquired for, and I'm using finger quotations here, for $25 million for Tevez and... let's say $18 million for Mascherano, right? But they own, West Ham owns 0%. So a business owns these players. After two seasons, they look really, really good. Liverpool come in and buy Mascherano for like $28 million. that money goes to this business consortium that own the player, right? And Tevez went to Man United for 30 million. That's a healthy return on investment for this player. And the reason that the FA banned it is because it stifles development of younger players. Mm-hmm. Because if you have third-party ownerships, all you're ever going to do is move around these very wealthy, very sought-after players. You're just going to move them from club to club to club to club to club. Before you know it, potentially in a 20-year span, you could have the starting 11 for Man United become the starting 11 for Man City, become the starting 11 for Chelsea, become the starting 11 for Barcelona, because these people are just moving these players around. The reason the other reason on the other side that it stifles young development is because you take a player, let's say, I think Neymar was subject to it. Somebody spots Neymar at 16 years old and says, I want to buy you for £25 million. Like a 16-year-old kid, knowing that he's going to be the absolute business and he's going to sell him for a massive return on investment. You know what? In my opinion, football, today's football, deserves some of the things it's getting right now. Because they took it in that direction. They became this big multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah.
In a way, there are people out there that want to make their money, want to do that. And they kind of deserve a little bit of what they're getting. But yeah, then to sell Neymar to Barca for whatever figure it was and make this almost 75% return on investment... I mean, that's good business by whatever business you're in.
Yeah.
So what Allardyce got done for was meeting with a supposed consortium that wished to get into this game of third-party ownership, knowing that it was banned, and allegedly, and we have to say that, Sam Allardyce gave them avenues around it. And the way that they could get around it was not to necessarily own a percentage of that player, which is classed as illegal, but to invest in the club a certain amount of money, and their returns would come from the sale of that player.
Yeah.
And you know what? He got caught. He thought he was helping out an old friend, is his claim. But at the end of the day, you've just got the biggest job in English football. You get a salary of £3.5 million a year. When's enough enough?
Right. So, just being greedy.
Yeah, because I think they offered him $400,000
for. Who's the manager now? Is it Gareth? You said
Gareth Southgate is the interim manager now. He's going to take charge for the next two World Cup qualifiers that are coming up in the next couple of weeks. But then, obviously, now we're back to square one, looking for a
Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No. All right. Don't forget, guys. You're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7 WPVC. If you want to get in contact with us, you can call us on 434-284-9470. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/blokesonthebench. And you can also email us through that website, through the Facebook page, and also if you hit us up on Hotmail, blokesonthebench@hotmail.com. Competition winner.
Competition, yeah. So our question this week was, Ryan Giggs appeared on the cover of FIFA, the game. What year did he appear on it? And who were the two fellow professionals on the cover? And we had a lot of actual entries.
We did. You had to put it in a hat.
Yeah, I think we actually had close to 20 this time. So we assigned you all a number, picked at random. And so the answer to the question was 2003. And Giggs appeared with none other than Roberto Carlos and Edgar Davids. And our lucky winner was none other than Andy Hunter.
Woo!
Well done. So your copy of FIFA 17 will be heading to you on the console of your choice.
Right, yeah, just hit us up whatever console you have.
Yeah, well, we're going to reach out and we'll find out. But yeah, so congratulations, Andy, and enjoy your copy of FIFA 17.
Awesome. You got Champions League results?
Yeah, it's time to go take a trip around Europe. So this week we had the second match day of the Champions League group stage. Notable results starting on Tuesday. CSKA Moscow got beat at home by Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
And Dortmund and Real Madrid was the biggest game of the day. That ended in a 2-2 draw. Leicester and Porto. Leicester getting the good there, 1-0. Dynamo Zagreb got thrashed by Juve, 4-0. Then the results on the 28th.
Who was the team that played Tottenham again?
CSKA.
Okay.
CSK Moscow for any of you.
I've heard both.
I thought he had a song. Was it the Thong song? I don't know.
CSKA, yeah. Very popular back in 2000.
Hey, I'm sorry. I don't speak Russian.
We were just laughing in the background. I don't think it was.
I know. I've been trying not to laugh the next.
As you know what? We're giving you the European results.
No, all right, we're kidding, Mark.
Keep going on.
All right. So, Ludogorets and PSG. That one ended with a 3-1 victory to PSG, even after Ludogorets went up a goal to start. I was really hoping that Ludogorets would have pulled that one off, since the Arsenal are in the same group as both of these clubs. Then the next result was my beloved Gunners, 2-0 to Basel at the Emirates. Napoli waxed Benfica 4-2. Barcelona squeezed out a late winner against Mönchengladbach 2-1. And probably the most exciting game of the week in the Champions League was Celtic and Man City.
Oh, did you watch that
game? Which was a 3-3 draw.
That was exhausting to watch.
Noel Gallagher, and Rod Stewart were both in the crowd in the box at that
Noel
game.
Noel Gallagher is a City fan, right? But he also does support Celtic, so... I mean, obviously, he's going to support Man City over Celtic. He's from Manchester, but Manchester in the area.
And then the last result that will actually segue into our La Liga results.
We don't have any La Liga results. We've kind of skipping them.
Okay, we're skipping them.
Running out of time, aren't we?
Barcelona lost. It's pretty much all you need to know. And Madrid drew. And Atletico keeps rolling on. Atletico beat Bayern 1-0. And that would wrap up the notable Champions League.
We are missing Jeremy. He is on his way back, I guess, from Blacksburg, where his team is playing, and just can't make it today. But we do have our assistant, Sarah. She's going to read out the UVA results for men's and women's soccer.
Take it away, Sarah.
Take it away.
All right. So for the women's team, they played today, October 2nd, against North Carolina at home and drew 1-1. They'll be playing this Thursday, October 6th, at 7 p.m. at home versus Pittsburgh. And next Sunday, October 9th, in South Bend, Indiana, versus Notre Dame at 1 p.m. The men's team played September 22nd at home versus Cornell and won 4-0. And the big game on Friday evening at 7 p.m. versus Virginia Tech, they drew 0-0. Yeah. Coming up, they'll be playing Tuesday the 4th versus Hofstra at home at 7 p.m., Friday the 7th at 7 p.m. versus North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And Tuesday the 11th versus Radford at home at 7 p.m. They're also playing Friday the 14th versus Notre Dame at 7 p.m. also here in Charlottesville.
Awesome. And that's at Klöckner Stadium. Get down there. Tickets are cheap.
Come on. Support the old Cavs.
A quick point out, though. The reason that we did do more... I guess, scheduled fixtures out, is that we are not going to be here next Sunday.
Yeah.
It is international duty.
International break.
So we're back, I believe it's the 16th. Yeah, it is.
Sounds about right, mate.
Sounds about right. I don't know, we're just taking a rough guess. Just out there. I think it's, it's 16th of October we're back. All right, so, thank you very much, Sarah.
Cheers, sir.
Mini clap. All right, so, October 15th, the Premier League is back. So let's run through the fixtures real quick. Chelsea versus Leicester City. That's going to be a big game.
Be a good game, 2-2.
Bournemouth versus Hull City, draw. I'm going to go for 1-1. Arsenal versus Swansea.
Arsenal 2-0.
City versus Everton.
I'm actually going 1-1.
Stoke versus Sunderland.
Ooh, I'm going Stoke to win 2-1.
West Bromwich versus Tottenham.
Tottenham to ground out a 1-0 win.
Crystal Palace versus West Ham.
Crystal Palace to win 2-0.
The Sunday games, Middlesbrough versus Watford. Watford, all the way.
No, I'm going draw, 2-2.
Okay. Southampton versus Burnley.
0-0.
And then the barn burner. That Monday, Liverpool at home at Anfield to Manchester United.
That's on a Monday.
See, that is going to be...
It's either going to be really tight, like a 1-1, or someone's going to get spanked. So I'm going 3-0, but I don't know who's going to win 3-0.
Wow. Okay, praying. Yeah, that's a
praying and Ibrahimovic hat-trick, but let's be honest, It's going to be 3-0, but I don't know who it's going to be to.
Wow. Okay, well, we'll leave it there. All right, guys. Thank you very much for tuning into Blokes on the Bench. I'm Andy.
Ryan.
Mark.
We will see you. As I said, we're off next week, so we'll see you the week after. Have a great week, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.